You take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 15. A number of years ago in our at Ben Salem, we had what was called the Christian Consultation Center. And we were pretty busy working with people. On Tuesdays was our counseling day, and we would work with them all day long. And God sent me to John 15 and Galatians 5, and we're going to go there again. And we spent time looking at that as it applied to the life of a believer, not only those struggling with difficulties, but those, once they found out what the problem was, staying victorious. So the passages are both very familiar to us, but I'm going to read in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now the truth is, there's all kinds of very rich passage, all kinds of issues. But I want to focus on two major things in this passage before we go to Galatians 5. First of all, of course, the parable of the vineyard, the husbandman being God the Father, the vine being Jesus Christ, and we are the branches. And as we are taken and grafted in by a wound that the gardener places on the vine, and that speaks, of course, of the wound that God placed on Jesus Christ at the cross. And we are grafted into that. Now, interestingly enough, I don't remember exactly what commentator suggested, that as the branches are placed into the vine, that the branches get life, juices flowing from the vine into the branches that give life and then produce fruit. And he suggested, although not mentioned specifically in scriptures, that life-giving juice was the Spirit of God. And so if that's true, we've got all three members of the Trinity here. But it's interesting, it says he bears fruit. Verse 5 says much fruit. And then there is and more fruit and then much fruit. So there are three levels, and that happens as the gardener purges us and makes us conformed or much like the trunk or the vine. As we look at that, then he says in verse 11, then he says, my joy might remain in you. So he's giving us our joy that our joy might be full. So the only way I can have the joy that God promises is to have the joy of the Lord. It says, you can do nothing without me. So if we remember that, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, where we're going to spend most of our time. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I remember as a teenager, preachers would come in and say, all right, to get right with God, you got to stop doing this, got to stop doing this, got to stop doing this, you got to start doing this, start doing this. And I looked at verse 16, and it seems like we turn things upside down. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we take a glass of crankcase oil. Dirty, good for nothing. We can get rid of that crankcase oil in one of two ways. We can dump it out, but then that leaves a void where things that could be worse than crankcase oil can be put into it. So instead, if we start putting water in that glass slowly, the water then begins to displace the oil. And when the oil is gone, the glass is now full of water. That's the concept that we have here in verse 16. It's not the matter of I've got to stop doing this, and if I do all these things just right, then God's pleased with me. The key is to begin focusing on walking in the Spirit. Now, I know you say, well, how do we do that? I think, especially for we Baptists, we all say, well, we're just going to be more sincere and we're going to work harder and make it happen. I want to suggest to you that walking in the Spirit is not about us, it's about God. Walking in the Spirit is simply my submitting to the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to fill my life, and then I begin walking in the Spirit. Now he makes a contrast, beginning with the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Look at verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he goes, wholeness, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're familiar with these works of the flesh. But then verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. I want to suggest to you that for every one of the works of the flesh, the answer is one of the fruit of the Spirit. You literally can take every one of the works of the flesh and plug in one of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is a characteristic of the life of Christ. Romans 8:29 talks about the fact that the Spirit's job is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. One of the ways that's manifest is in Galatians 5:22-23. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Keller suggests that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that the rest of the eight are manifestations of love. I don't agree grammatically, it doesn't work. But the fruit of the Spirit is like an orange. One fruit, but a lot of segments. So if we take each one of these works of the flesh and begin to look at the fruit of the Spirit, it shows us immediately where we're deficient. And the Spirit of God, as I yield to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God then takes that fruit and applies it to that area of my life and gives me victory. Baptists tend to say, well, I'm deficient in this area. All right, so we're convicted. We hit the altar. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us. And so then next morning we get up and say, all right, today I'm going to flip on the switch of peace. And so I flip on this, and I'm supposed to be good. Let me remind you, it's not about what I do. It's about what the Spirit of God does. My focus has to be on giving my life to Christ and walking in the Spirit. As I walk in the Spirit, these things come automatically. I don't know about you, but I struggle with automatic. I want to work at it. I want to say, I did this. But that's not walking in the Spirit. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we know the Spirit of God lives within the life of every believer. Romans 8 makes it clear that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. So the moment I'm saved, I receive the Holy Spirit. So if I live there, then I need to walk there. I need to walk as the Spirit of God directs me. In verse 13, I'm going to jump back to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I'm going to go somewhere with that in just a moment. We talk about Christian liberty, and certainly we believe that that's a key to the Christian life. But Paul makes it clear that our liberty is not to be used on ourselves, but to use on others. So, we've got several things. We're all plugged into the vine. Spirit of God's flowing from that vine into us, producing fruit, or the life characteristics of Christ. Those life characteristics are the answer to the lust of the flesh or to the works of the flesh. So what does that mean? How does that look in terms of application? Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 2 has been something that's been on my heart for many, many years. When I pastored, I tried to get this to work in our churches. My son Rodney just took a church down in Abilene, Texas. The church had been through some difficult times and it was struggling. And so Roddy and I were talking several times a week and I introduced him to this concept. And last Sunday, he preached a message called Extravagant Love. He said they had not given an invitation in that church. This is an independent Baptist church. Had not given an invitation in that church for years. And so he's going to introduce the concept of an invitation, but not just to come forward, but to do something about it. So he explained to the church at the end of the message that he has two assistants and two of the deacons and their wives were going to be up front. He says, we're here to pray with you. He says, I have no idea how this is going to work. When you try something new, especially when you're a new pastor, you never know what's going to happen. So I watched them online, the message, but they turned it off during the invitation. So I called him. I said, how'd it go? He said, almost the entire church came forward. And he said, this needs to be the launching pad of caring for one another. At the risk of sounding like a heretic, let me just say to you that in independent Baptist churches, we have become very good with soul winning and reaching the lost. And we should. It's part of the Great Commission. But part of church life is caring one for another. And we're not so good at that. And yet this is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit being in my life is evidence that I am going to create an environment in my church where we're a family, where we can share what's going on in our lives. The Catholic Church did something from a counselor's perspective that I thought, I get it. You go to confession. And there, after you confess your sins to this man who is probably a greater sinner than you are, he then gives you penance. And you go out and you do this and this and this and this and you're absolved. And they learn something that if you work it off, then you don't have the guilt. We haven't learned how to do that yet. And I'm not talking about penance. I'm not talking about absolution because that all happened at the cross. But to accept it and to minister one to another in a way that people can feel as though they can come to you and talk to you about the burdens they carry. Heard a preacher one time say, if you preach to hurting people, you'll always have an audience. And I think that's also true. So let's go back and think about how this applies here at our church at Maranatha. First of all, obviously we need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is to be placed into the vine, John 15. By being placed into the vine, then the Spirit of God flows from that vine into my branch, into me, and produces not my fruit, but produces the fruit of the vine, which we know to be the fruit of the Spirit, which are life characteristics of Christ. And as those life characteristics are produced in my life, I have victory over the works of the flesh. As I have victory over the works of the flesh, then I can minister to others and bear one another's burdens. We ran what we called focus groups, and they met on Thursday nights. And we had one on pre-marriage counseling and marriage counseling and child rearing and all kinds of things. And there were different people that ran them. My group was depression and anxiety disorders. And I would run anywhere from 15 to 30 people. And one of the things that happened is we met, we would meet during the winter months. And the first couple of weeks, people would meet and they were very reticent to say anything. They would just listen and it became kind of a lecture. But then we begin to mold as a group. And they began to share what was going on in their lives. And we could take then the Word of God and apply it. And I watched as I went back May for my wife's funeral at that church. People came up and said, do you remember? And they go back to focus group. Do you remember? Do you remember? It says, it changed my life. Bearing one another's burdens. As that happens, I become a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. Let me just go one step further in one area where we miss. And I was, Pastor and I were talking about this the other day. In order for us to do this, in order for us to deal with the works of the flesh, we have to do what the Bible talks about, confessing our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Let me suggest that we do a good job at confession and repentance. But do you ever feel like sometimes you're like a hamster in that wheel just going round and round and round and round and confessing and repenting the same thing over and over again? I want to suggest to you that we miss two steps. Confession literally means what? What's the word mean? What's that? To agree with. All right, to agree with. Absolutely. So, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and many times that's where we stop. We agree with God. So what? Well, we say, well, we need to repent. Repent is a change of mind or a change of attitude toward that sin. I not only agree with God, I hate it as God does. And that's where we stop. Let me suggest to you that as I'm walking towards the darkness, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us or continues to cleanse us from all sin. So I'm walking toward darkness. I confess and I repent. I'm still facing darkness. There's the issue of conversion, where I turn and then replace. So if I turn and replace, now I'm walking away from darkness toward light. As I help people who are in bearing one another's burdens, we sometimes let them stay here facing this direction and wonder why they walk away defeated or discouraged, saying it doesn't work because we don't take the next two steps. We don't tell them, turn and we'll start walking in another direction and learn to replace. Replacement sometimes is hard. It's hard to find something that works. What do you do when I was a youth pastor, the big deal was with teenagers, get them to replace their rock music. I don't know what the issues are. The kids face screens, probably. But how do you replace screens? I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a youth pastor nowadays. But find ways. When I was working at Girard Schools was a residential treatment center for severely emotionally disturbed children. And I was in Austin, Minnesota. And I had, my charge was a dorm of boys from 8 to 16. And the staff would spend hours together thinking of what can we do to replace this or this or this. And replacement, even though it was an unsaved place, they understood the value of replacement. As believers, we need to do the same thing. Because that gives us permanent solutions if we replace it. Find something to replace it. Now, you say, well, the Spirit of God, yes, but the Spirit of God takes practical things. First went into ministry, first went into the pastorate. This would have been in 1974. An evangelist came to Kalamazoo and had a church-wide, a citywide church revival services. And we rented out an auditorium and packed the place out. Towards the end of the week of meetings, a guy comes up to me and he said, and I happened to be the music director for that particular crusade. He came to me and he says, where's your church? So I told him where it was. He said, I'm coming. He was going to drive quite a ways. He came probably for several months. And he says, I've got a problem. He says, I chew tobacco. He was a contractor. He said, I chew tobacco and I want to get rid of it. He says, but I try. He says, I get headaches and all the rest of the symptoms. He said, what do I do? I said, well, you got to replace it. He said, what do I replace it with? I said, I don't know. I've never chewed tobacco. I said, what about raisins? He said, I'll try it. So he went out and bought a lot of raisins. Came next Sunday, he says, man, I'm going through the raisins. But he says, I've been able to stay away from chewing tobacco. He found something that would replace it. We need to spend some time considering what can we do to replace it. Now, the replacement for the works of the flesh are in Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But again, I want to conclude by just telling you that I've learned in my life, and I'm sure you have as in yours, that these cannot be manufactured in the flesh. Because if they are, they're just works of the flesh. They have to, in order to be permanent, they have to be manufactured by the Spirit of God, whose job it is and desire it is to do it, because he wants to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's about. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, I am then going to be able to help others with the help that I have received. May God give us the spirit of serving others, but being able to do so based on the Word of God. Father, I thank you for these passages. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Spirit of God who is prepared to do a great work in our lives if we will simply allow him to do so. So, Father, I pray that you would take these truths, apply them to our lives this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll let you out real early, but I do that all the time in chapel too, in school.